The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
David, Happy New Year. And I'm going to go straight into the questions because I've never seen as many questions in for you. So thank you, and we'll get stuck into it right away. Caller has a two-story house. She had radiators upstairs that are worked by solid fuel, but there are no radiators downstairs. She asks, would it be very expensive to convert to oil and install new rads, both upstairs and downstairs? Also, would she be entitled to get a grant for the upgrade? She is 62 years old.
This is quite often the situation when we're upgrading existing housing stock and upgrading existing dwellings. And for this homeowner, this is a common situation where the back boiler would have been providing heat through the radiators upstairs, and possibly has said no radiators downstairs because the back boiler stove range or fireplace was giving enough heat to the downstairs areas, which were typically their living spaces. So I suppose directly there is grants available to upgrade. And I know that the homeowner mentioned 62 years of age. I suppose that's in some ways relevant, but in some ways irrelevant when it comes to certain grants. And I suppose to start off, there's grants available through the SEI or through Kerry County Council Housing Adaption. Those are elements that homeowner could look into. I would encourage, I suppose, an overall house assessment here, that they'd look at what other works could be carried out to the entire dwelling so that they could benefit from all the grants that could possibly be there for example, like upgrading the walls, upgrading windows and doors, floor insulation, roof insulation. Because whilst we could just upgrade the heating system, but if the overall dwelling is not sufficient or keeping enough heat in the house, then what I would say is it could be a waste of money or money foolishly spent. So that existing fireplace, converting it may be an option, but I would suggest maybe starting with something new and probably assessing the full house for an overall conversion. And again, with grants, seai.ie, there's some fantastic information on there for the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland for grants for that, and possibly the Kerry County Council Housing Adaption grants, there could be an availability there for that homeowner too.
Now, Mary asks, I have a back boiler and use smokeless coal and briquettes. I find this useless compared to what it used to be before with the ordinary coal. Could you recommend any fuel like that I could use, please?
Yeah, good morning, Mary. I suppose, look, we're trying to get away from burning the coal and the briquettes, and I understand the smokeless element, and there's regulations in place in certain areas where it has to be smokeless fuel, etc. But I suppose, look, if you are going to use a fireplace and you are going to burn fuel, my strongest suggestion is that you use wood, timber, proper season, proper dried wood. I know it's available through Boyles Hardware there in Killorglan. I often see pallets of stacked dry timber there for sale out the back. But again, it can be an issue where temperature or achieving the temperature within fireplaces can be a situation. But again, for Mary there, I might recommend that possibly the chimney could need a clean, or if it's a back boiler setup, that there could be some moving parts there that might not be operating correctly to give enough heat to the house. A bit of a broad answer, I know, but I suppose it's the most direct answer I can give. And I suppose, look, as I said, in the upgrade of houses there, Tracer, we always recommend that if people do want fireplaces, they're moving to wood-burning stoves or indeed wood pellet stoves. They're just a fantastic output of heat, but also cast as a renewable source of heat. So it's where we're aiming for, it's where we're going for the future. Unfortunately for Mary, if it's an existing fireplace, then it may need an upgrade. But look, start with the basics. Make sure the chimney is clean, make sure that it's operating correctly. And after that, that's as much as you can do to get a volume of heat out of the existing fireplace.
Listener has double glazed windows, would like to get triple glazed. There's a lot of condensation and mould on our windows, doors and the walls beside them. The reason I want to get the triple glaze is that there's a draft coming in our current windows. Would you recommend I change them, and would vents help with the condensation in the house?
This is something that can happen quite often, is you have the breakdown of the glazing, or you have condensation build up due to lack of ventilation, or because the windows are at an age where we say there wasn't sufficient insulation in the overall build of the windows. So upgrading your windows and doors is definitely a fantastic way to achieve a better living quality within the house, and I suppose also save money by preventing heat loss. So I guess for that homeowner, if they can afford it, it's definitely something to look into. But again, it's like the first question, Tracer. If they are going to do windows and doors, there is grants available through the one-stop shop process for windows and door upgrades. But it is on the contingency that you are going to carry out further upgrade works to the house. So again, for this homeowner, you know, if they have drafts around the existing windows, if the existing windows are breaking down, or if there's condensation buildup, if there's heat loss, then there's other elements within the house that may be looked and should be looked at before they just swap out the windows and move from there, because they could end up with the same problem afterwards, which would be not something that they want to do spending the money on. Mm-hmm. But again, here, windows and doors, wall insulation, roof insulation, it goes back down to the last part of that homeowner's question, which is ventilation. Ventilation is key, trust, key. We can wrap ourselves up, we can wrap up the houses, but if we don't have sufficient air quality coming in and sufficient ventilation within a house, we're doing the wrong thing completely, and we will end up with condensation, we will end up with black mould, an unhealthy environment, I suppose, is what I'm going to say.
Health,
so,
yeah.
Look, there's a lot there to look at, and I guess if they are considering windows and doors moving up to triple glazed, then they should definitely look at the overall house and have a look at probably Electric Ireland Superhomes, the company we work with, through the one-stop shop process. There's a lot of information on there, and again, through the SCI website, there's a lot of information on there. Before you take the plunge, get the information.
Now, we installed solar panels and a water inverter, I think is the word, in our inverter in our home last year. But without having the oil to heat the water as well on a daily basis, we would not have enough hot water for the day. Is that right, David?
So there's probably a hot water diverter installed with the solar panels. Basically, what this does is any solar gain or energy that's brought into the house through the solar system is diverted by its nature to the hot water system, which means that it will heat your tank of hot water and give you a nice hot tank of water free of charge as such. There is moving elements. There is the overall cost. I can hear people saying that to me. But if it's not doing that, or if it's not giving enough water for the day, then yeah, there could be an element of programming within the unit itself. There could be, unfortunately, a leak of water, which could mean then that it's constantly trying to keep up with temperature, or if it's got a cold water coming into it, it's diluting the hot water. So there's a few moving parts there which could be creating this problem. But I think overall, you know, it depends as well on the system, the size of the solar system that's installed, and if and when the hot water is satisfied, that there's a lot of hot water usage throughout the day. To take away from this, I suppose, personally, what I would say is that any hot water that you're generating through the solar panels is a massive gain. But look, it could be a simple setting, or it could be a simple setup that could be looked at, which could give you more of a gain for hot water storage.
Now, our radiators are cold a lot of the time, no matter how often we bleed them. Is there anything we can do to solve this problem?
So, again, this comes down to, I suppose, to boiler servicing and heating system servicing and checks. If the radiators are cold and you're bleeding them and you're still not getting enough heat out of them, then I would suggest that there's some moving part that has failed, like a pump, a motorised valve, or even electronic or electrical, a thermostat, or the boiler itself could need a service to get you more temperature out. This time of year, I suppose, Trasa, is when we notice this the most. And as you said there, you know, November, December can be more mild and not as cold as we can face into in January, February and March. And indeed with snow or anything else like that, you know, it can be just temperature variable. So the strongest advice I would give this homeowner is to start at source and make sure the boiler or the heat source is 100% serviced, that there's no blockages with that. After that, then it's as I said, the moving parts, the pumps, the motorized valves, or if there's zones in there with thermostats, that then you have a situation where those are working properly, serviced correctly. And after that, then it's the system itself. There could be a buildup of sludge within the system, which may have to be power flushed, which is an operation which can be carried out by plumbers. And that's, I suppose, as much as I can say, start at the beginning and move through the process of seeing what's going to fix it.
Is there any way to bring up the BER rating of an old home? It's currently C3.
So I could go on until next Tuesday with this one, Trasa, definitely. But I suppose with this homeowner, if they're thinking of it, this is a great question, because it means they are thinking about it, Trasa. You know, it's the starting process, and I like to hear this because it means that they're open to, I suppose, what answers can be given, what information is out there, and what grants are applicable to their home. But I suppose to start off with the very simple stuff, it again goes down to the fabric of the building, which is your walls and your roof area, ceiling area, making sure that you have enough insulation or can upgrade the insulation within those areas. After that, it's the heat source for the house. It's changing possibly to a heat pump, which is a more modern way of heating house, or it's making sure that you have an efficient condensing oil boiler in place, or if there's even, which we have quite often, tries to questions on a back boiler and an oil boiler, a gas boiler combined, that the two systems are working properly with zone separation. You've got thermostats making sure that areas are being heated that are required. Like the other listener there with their question with windows and doors, can you upgrade your windows and doors to the best standard? And I suppose the last thing here, Trasa, is affordability. You know, set your budget out and make sure that the grants that you can achieve here, make sure that your budget will meet the requirements to get you the most economical home you can live in. The one-stop shop process is aimed for A-rated houses, and that's what we achieve most commonly by installing the best products that can be installed. Ventilation system, as I said, the roof walls, windows, doors, and the heating system. So there's a lot of options available to that homeowner, but to move up from a C3 to an A, that's definitely achievable through small measures as well.
David, we've loads more questions, but we'll have to hold them over. But to let people know, David will be back with us on Friday, February 6th. So not too long away in at all. Friday, February 6th. Pencil that down and we will get to all those questions. And thank you for taking the time to send them in. We will return to them. Thank you for your company this morning. I would like to thank David Nelligan, who produced, and Niamh Daly on sound, and to Elma Nix, who took your calls and comments. And in particular, a big, big thank you to our man from Dingle Dangany Coote, Alan O'Brien, who set up all the pieces and went to great work on the pieces and the interviews we did this morning regarding the Dingle GA.